My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. It gets Aaron involved. Help him out. He's lonely in there. You can get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the way to do that. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, you can do that as well. Miss the first hour. A lot of coronavirus, a lot of sports, a little bit of everything. It's a good hour. All available at podcastarena.com. We'll try to do even better this hour. So you were doing a little research there on break. By research, I mean Googling.
Yeah, I Googled the list of the 353 D1 schools.
Yeah.
It looks like California has the most. They have 25.
Okay. Which,
kind of unsurprising. New York has 23. North Carolina has 20.
Wow, that's a lot.
For a small state, it seems like a lot. Alabama has 12.
That's a lot for a place I wouldn't have thought of.
Yeah, and Louisiana has, I think they've got 12 or 13. I mean, it's some states that you wouldn't expect have quite a few of these teams. New York has 23, so they're right behind California. 49 of the 50 states have a D1 representative. Only Alaska doesn't.
Okay.
So there's your tidbit.
Maybe that's how we should do the Electoral College by Division I college basketball.
Don't let Alaska vote?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize there was 23 in Texas. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because you've got the whole Southland.
And, yeah. When you get into like Texas Southern and Houston Baptist and things like, I mean, those are D1 schools.
Yeah.
Incarnate Word, Abilene Christian, those are D1 schools.
Oh.
Prairie View A&M, shout out Prairie View.
Yeah, there you go. SFA.
Yeah.
Everybody loves SFA.
I am shouting out Texas Southern, though, tonight, just because.
Just because?
I could use them.
Okay.
You could use a bump from them. Let's go Tigers. Go Tigers.
I have one hockey play tonight. Went 0-2-1 the other night, so.
Oh!
Yeah, it's dipped under 75% for the first time this year, but we're going to bounce.
Suck.
We're going to bounce back tonight with Edmonton, Chicago over 6.5.
Okay.
So, but this is the same research that led to an 0-2-1 night the other night.
Well.
It was my under that hit too, by the way. Hey, I'm doing my part in the fantasy league by beating the guy you need me to beat. You need to get your act together, pal.
I don't think it's going to happen. The guy got a shutout, and it's hard to come back from that.
Well, you know what? It's only Thursday. You've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Need to dig out of that hole. So, have you seen the odds on where Tom Brady is going to take his first snap in 2020?
I've not seen it.
All right. The 1-2 favorite? New England Patriots. See if you can guess the second choice. 9-2 is your number.
Las Vegas.
That is your third choice at 8-1.
San Francisco.
That is your fifth choice at 12-1.
Ooh, let me think then. So Patriots won. What about the Tennessee Titans?
That is your second favorite at 9-2. I know he and Vrabel know each other. I just don't know if I see that happening.
Would you? Let's think about this, because isn't Derrick Henry a free agent?
Yes.
Doesn't it seem more important to build your roster around him and then overpay for an aging quarterback that's not going to be around in 2 years?
And may not. And well, you know what?
I'll help you this year.
I don't even think there's a chance that he plays as well as Ryan Tannehill did for him last year.
Because I'm not usually a guy who says pay running backs.
Right.
But
that he's the key to their offense.
Their offense is not remotely now, as good without him.
The flip side is if you pay him a bunch of money, then I mean, this is a guy who has carried the ball an awful lot over the last couple of years. He's not the kind of guy who, I mean, he's a bruiser. He gets hit a lot. You got to wonder if that's going to hold up over the length of a contract. But I still think it's one of those you have to, right? So here's your odds. Patriots 1-2, Titans 9-2, Raiders 8-1, Chargers 8-1, 49ers 12, Colts 14, Buccaneers 14, no snap taken, 30-1.
Ooh, okay.
So,
what about Texans? 250-1.
The Texans are 1,000-1.
Okay, it's a good deal.
Last on the list at 10,000-1, the
Kansas
Chiefs.
City Chiefs. Yep.
So, realistically, those are the teams.
Yeah.
Cowboys are next at 80-1, and Bears are 100. So are the Dolphins and Panthers and Broncos. But you know, that's another name. We talk about quarterbacks that are going to be probably moving if Tennessee does something like this, then Ryan Tannehill's probably getting paid by somebody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a lot of moving parts, and it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. And I'm sorry, man. I don't want Tom Brady at this stage of his career. And I know that sounds ridiculous because he's the greatest of all time, but at 43, coming off of what he did last year, I mean, it's not like he's going to suddenly bounce back.
Yeah.
And I don't know a situation where he would go in and make a team better than what they already are of all the ones that have been mentioned.
Agreed.
So we'll see. I mean, I think I'd rather have Jimmy than him right now in San Francisco.
I would too.
And since I don't get the Brady to LA or Vegas thing, why would he want to spend his last couple of years fighting for a wild card? He's not beating KC for that division. I still think he believes that he's Tom Brady. And he could walk into that situation and make them Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, listen, what I've always said about the Patriots, one thing that makes him, I think, the most successful organization, besides, you know, having the best coach and the best quarterback, I think what they've always done is when they think a guy values himself more than he is worth to the team, they're not afraid to cut bait with him. And it's always been, no matter what, there haven't been exceptions to that rule. I think if Tom Brady leaves New England, that's continuing in the trend that they're not going. And if they should make an exception for anybody, it's obviously him because he's played on a team-friendly deal basically his entire career. I just don't think the Patriots are going to pay this guy what some of these other teams are going to pay him.
Now, and if you are Las Vegas, well, I also think it would be silly for Las Vegas to pay him and put him in over Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is a better quarterback right now. But if for them and for the Chargers, it's about putting butts in the seats. Tom Brady would do that. So they'll overpay for him. And, you know, at least for the first six or seven games until people realize that he's not the Tom Brady of old. But and somebody asked, so is Rivers to the Colts a done deal? Not as far as I know. I still think I think a lot depends on Brady first. And again, I'm not so sure Phillip Rivers at this stage is going to be a huge addition for somebody.
Yep.
It just depends. I mean, if you put Phillip Rivers on the Bucks, is he that much better than Jameis? I mean, maybe, but he also turned the ball over a lot himself. And in that offense, it's easy to do because they gamble a lot. And Slappy says the best scenario is for Brady to stay in New England. They just have to pay him.
I just don't know if New England. I don't know if New England is. I mean, New England's got their thing is. If they bring in whoever they bring in to play quarterback, if they decide to have that Stidham play, if they decide to draft a quarterback, I don't know that there's a big fall off from what Tom Brady gave you last year or what you can expect from Tom Brady this year. Tom Brady was a below average quarterback by NFL standards this year.
Well, what if you go and
well get, below average?
Go and get Cam Newton. Or you go get Andy Dalton even. Are you not better than you were last year?
Especially
with that coaching?
Yeah, you're at least equal. I mean, I think Cam Newton, the upside right now going forward, is much higher with Cam Newton than it is.
People forget that when he's healthy. He's
Cam Newton was an MVP.
Yeah, he's capable of carrying a team. All right. Very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Thursday. Hope everybody's getting ready for the weekend. No fear of coronavirus.
You know when, you know, like there's levels of criminals? Like there's...
Yeah.
Really dumb criminals, and then there's the kind of guys that you think are doing like Ocean's 11 type criminals, right?
Yeah, and I'd like to be one of those guys. That's
right.
Pretty bad.
You're not smart or quick enough for that, but
I could plan a pretty good heist.
Okay,
I have no doubt. But go ahead.
The thing about being one of those smart criminals is you're still capable of doing one dumb thing. And it kind of ruins you being a smart criminal. In the movies, it's really easy to
right.
be like...
But in real life, there's always that one mistake. And
yes. So, Marcello's fine jewelry was robbed on April 27th of 2019 after individuals cut the power off to the store, pried open the front door to get inside. Police said the suspects then used a torch-cutting instrument to pry open a safe... and stole $3 million worth of gold and jewelry.
Okay.
Police come in. They start doing a walkthrough, and they say, well, we think they got into the safe. Marcello said, that's impossible. We have a vault room, which is concrete, and then we have a metal door, a big, heavy metal door, and we have safes inside the room. And they actually cut through the vault room doors, cut each of the safes to try to get the jewelry out of the cases. It was really amazing. The problem is when you do something like that, when you're working one of those torches, it's very hot.
Right.
And you've got to hydrate. And these guys left behind a water bottle.
Oh, and his DNA is probably in the system.
DNA results from the water bottles would later match a case from February 2019. The case was a high-profile celebrity residential burglary case where jewelry was also stolen. On October 3rd, 2019, Marcello Romero was arrested for a residential burglary. The sheriff's office conducted a search warrant on his apartment and found an acetylene torch, which is useful for cutting open safes. They got a warrant. Tampa got a warrant to get a search warrant to obtain the DNA swab. And 700 billion times more likely to be Romero than any other unrelated individual. He's now in the Ventura County Jail on $1.1 million bond, now charged with the burglary of Marcello's fine jewelry. He's robbing celebrities' jewels.
Is this his own jewel? I mean, his name's Marcello, right?
This was the store, the guy's last name was Marcello. Or no, his name was Marcello Suarez.
Okay.
Marcello's fine jewelry. This guy's name is... also, Marcello Romero, a 33-year-old. I mean, if you're getting away with a high-profile celebrity burglary case, to get caught by a water bottle?
Well, there's always that one thing that guys do, and I don't know if you guys will remember this. In 2002, there was a big scandal at the Breeders' Cup on the betting, and it was actually one of the stories that I broke a bunch on at the time, but what guys were doing is at the off-track parlors, you would actually have the race results for like the first couple races in a pick four or a pick six. So they would get those, then punch tickets into the machine that had the winners of the first two races and then just go all. Okay. So they're automatic. And so apparently they'd been doing this for months. They've been just taking down pick fours. And no one was ever in any of the wires were for it. You had to be an inside guy to have access to the computers to make the bet. And they were racking up money for months. And then they got greedy. Because when the Breeders' Cup went to Chicago that year, a 43-1 long shot wins the last race.
Okay.
And there were six winning tickets in the pick six, and all of them were at the same OTB. And the bottom line was, instead of just trying to hit it once where they would have still got the same $3 million, they got greedy thinking that a whole bunch of people would hit it and they'd get as much as they could. And all six tickets were in one place. And, of course, that raised red flags immediately.
Yeah.
And then they caught him, and they went back and looked at all the ones they had done, and they've been doing it for months.
Oh.
And it's just that stupid mistake.
You can't take – everybody wants to take the big grab. When you've got a scheme that's working and you're getting a little bit at a time, pretty smart.
Yeah. I mean, and –
but then when you go for the big – by the way, my credit card info got stolen this week.
Oh, really?
Actually, last week. And my wife was like – I don't remember what the website was, but it was like an $840 charge. Up until that point, she hadn't really noticed because they had ordered pizza a couple times. Domino's, by the way. That's how I knew it wasn't me. They had some chicken place that I've never heard of. And then they tried like a $160 charge at Walmart. So when I'm talking to Chase, they're like, Is this your charge at Walmart? And I said, it ain't me. I don't go to Walmart. And they're like, well, oh, it's at Walmart.com. And I said, it's definitely not me. I mean, I've got Amazon, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need Walmart.com. I've got Amazon Prime, that free shipping, expedited shipping. My wife got alerted because of this big charge. And if they would have just kept ordering pizzas, they probably would have got away with it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Now I got a whole new card.
You can't get greedy. And these guys were making, you know, $10,000, $15,000, one lick after another. They would have never got caught if they just stuck to these low rent tracks and harness tracks and just hit it once.
Then the chariot races?
Yeah, yeah, the chariots. If they had just stuck to that stuff, but... When you go to one of the biggest days in racing, and
yeah, not wise.
I mean,
guys.
And just try. If you just hit it once, you don't get caught.
Yeah.
But the fatal flaw was hitting it six times because that is impossible for all those to be in one place. It's just there's no way in hell that there'd be six people in the same place with the same ticket. And then of course, then the real problem is you have to.
Well,
you have to sign for that.
What if like a when you say it's impossible? I mean like. You and your buddies used to sit around a table and you'd split tickets, right?
But on a pick six,
you would just get one ticket.
We would have one ticket that we're all in together, yeah.
Okay, you don't all like say, hey, let's all buy this $20 ticket together.
And all six of us buy it. No, it doesn't work that way.
You would just pay $120 and have all six of you invested in that one ticket.
Right.
Okay.
And that's how people do it. You don't, especially in a pick six, which is damn hard to hit.
Yeah.
And usually it's big syndicates. That put in $1,800, $2,400.
So would it have been, if the super long shot wouldn't have won, would it have been as red flag raising?
It still would have been a red flag if you've got, say, 10 winning tickets around the country, and one's in California, one's in Texas, one's in Vegas, and six are...
Yeah.
Yeah, that still would have raised a red flag. That was where they made the mistake, trying to hit it six times. 5, 25, 6, excuse me.
The great thing about this Topo Chico lime flavored twist of lime is when I belch, I get a little twist of lime.
Well, that's good.
It's good.
That's what you're going for. Steven, the weather guy, asked, have you seen McMillions on HBO? Sounds something. Yeah, absolutely. And those guys did the same thing. They got greedy.
They couldn't just take their free quarter pounders.
No. Hey, that show is fascinating. Have you been on that yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
It's right up your alley. It's a documentary about how this mob guy basically was defrauding the Monopoly game to get these $1 million prizes, and he would basically go to people and say, here, you win the prize, and just give me a cut. And it's very fascinating. If you're into crime at all, it's worth watching. So, hey, I've got Lenardi's updated stuff. I'd like to get your opinion on when we come back.
On whose stuff?
Joe Lenardi.
Oh, okay.
Your boy.
He actually put out a new bracket today?
On March 5th, he did.
Okay. Wow, about time. I don't understand. Like, before today, his last one was March 2nd. I mean, this is your time. You should be putting one out every day now, Joe.
He's so big.
Well, that's so lame.
He's only big for, what, 2 more weeks?
Yeah, that's it. He's useless.
Yeah, after that, nobody cares. There's always the one day where he comes on and talks about, oh, this is a poor seating, exactly. And this is a poor seating, and then that's it. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So, we're talking before the break that Jose Lunardi has his new list out.
All right.
Your one seeds? I bet you can guess the 4-1 seeds.
Same four they've been for the past month or two. Kansas, Baylor, San Diego State, Gonzaga.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the other teams that you might be interested in. You have Houston is an 8 seed.
That's, I guess that probably seems.
I think if they win tonight, win against Memphis.
I mean, if they win the conference tournament.
Yeah, they probably get to a 7, maybe.
It changes some things. So, that's probably about right. I mean, obviously, they would hope that they can avoid being an 8 seed because you know what that means in round 2.
Right.
But that's probably about where they are. Yeah. And I don't think it's a, guarantee that they win tonight. They've got a tough matchup tonight.
Texas Tech is a 9.
That's about right. Yeah. And Texas Tech's not even a lock to be in yet. Texas Tech, had they beat Baylor, they would be locked in, but they didn't. So I think if they beat Kansas this weekend at home, they're in. But it's not a.
They're going to have to win a couple tournament
games. They're going to have to, yeah. I know that sounds crazy, but they don't have nearly the resume you might think they do.
One of your last four ins, Texas at 11.
Yeah, they've worked their way up to that level. They've got to beat Oklahoma State. I mean, that'd be a poor loss. But they've definitely found their way into the conversation when you would have never thought that, you know, 5-6 games ago.
Yeah, no kidding. And
good for them.
13 seeds, North Texas, SFA, Tulsa in.
From, oh, really?
AAC, yeah.
As a 13?
As a 13.
Okay. Well, the thing about Tulsa, and I was giving out some picks for the podcast this weekend, and here's I'll preview it and tell you that I'm going to be on Tulsa +6 against Wichita this weekend. Tulsa's record as an underdog is remarkable. Did you realize that Tulsa's tied for first in the American Conference?
Yeah, I did.
Like, if UH doesn't win out, Tulsa's going to be the champions of the American Conference.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild because nobody's talking about them. They are 10-4 against the spread as an underdog this season, including 9 straight up wins. So they, and of course they just did it again against Temple yesterday. And that's really remarkable. For whatever reason, they're not getting a lot of credit, and they have two really good players in Igbanu and Rochelle, who's an LSU transfer. And that team is pretty good. Now scoring,
yeah,
it's tough. But if they can get you into their kind of game, and you're a team that can't shoot, you're
in
trouble.
That's how they beat Houston.
That's exactly how they beat Houston. They made it a slowed down game. They made Houston try to shoot over a zone, and Houston couldn't do it. So Tulsa's a team I like, and they're a team that can give somebody problems if they run into the, you know, if you're saying they're a 13 seed, if they run into a 4 seed, I'm trying to think who a 4 seed might be.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Okay, tell me who the 4 seeds are. Like Auburn. If Auburn's a 4 seed, although they might have dropped down now that they lost to Aggie.
Yeah, good job by Aggie last night, by the way. Wisconsin, Oregon, Maryland, Creighton.
Now, Creighton would beat the crap out of them. Maryland would be in trouble. Wisconsin might be in trouble because Wisconsin, outside of their building, they don't shoot well. So, boy, that feels like a low seed for Creighton, too, by the way.
Well, I mean, this is Joe Lunardi's. This isn't.
Yeah, I think Creighton's going to go on and win the Big East anyway, so I don't think it's going to much matter.
Yeah, because they've got actually Villanova on the 3 line.
Okay.
And
which is also, I mean, that's also fair. Yeah. I mean, they're right in the discussions. Creighton, Villanova, and Seton Hall are kind of the, they're the class of that conference. So I don't have whoever they think is going to win the conference. Joe clearly thinks Villanova is going to win it.
So here's your last four in. Texas, Indiana, Xavier, Cincinnati. So that has 3 AAC teams in.
Okay.
First four out, Wichita State, Utah State, Richmond, NC State.
Oh, that's a bummer if Richmond misses out. That's a pretty good team. If Cincinnati got in over Richmond, that would be disappointing.
And then your second four, Arkansas, South Carolina, Memphis, Purdue.
Okay.
The second four, not in.
I feel bad for Arkansas because, they're just a different team with Isaiah Joe. And they got a big win yesterday, too. That's a team that's scary in the conference tournament, too. So I wouldn't count them out just yet. If they win a few games in the SEC, they're dangerous. Memphis. This Memphis-Wichita game tonight, it's a big deal. I mean, it's almost like an elimination game. It's almost like the AAC playoffs start tonight.
Right.
Because if Memphis loses, there's pretty much no way for them to get an at-large bid. They would have to win the conference tournament. And really kind of the same for Wichita. If Wichita loses to Memphis, they're kind of out of the equation for an at-large anyway.
Yeah, and the one thing that if these guys are hoping to win the tournament, that's one thing that Kelvin Sampson's pretty good at is coaching his team for a conference tournament. So, I mean, UH is not going to be an easy out in that thing. So, although weirdly enough, it's being played in Fort Worth. I didn't realize there was an AAC team in Fort Worth.
I didn't either.
Yeah. So, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, see, your buddy Dana White was pitching the Raiders to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Love me some Dana. He's a lot of fun. Did you watch the last Star Wars one, right?
Which one was it?
The Rise of Skywalker.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I haven't watched that one on Disney Plus, series.
I still don't have Disney
Mandalorian.
Plus.
Mandalorian, yeah. I still don't have Disney Plus yet. I need to get it. Well, all right, spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the damn movie, well, shame on you, but there is a spoiler coming. So apparently one of the big bitches was that Emperor Palpatine was still alive,
mm-hmm.
and then he came back. Well, they did a novel version of the movie, which I can't imagine why anyone would want to read it, but it explained how he came back in that apparently as he was falling, he transferred his consciousness somewhere else, created a new body, and then put his consciousness back in that one.
That's stupid. I don't want to talk about that.
I'm telling you, it is stupid.
Star Wars has just ruined what they've got going.
They really have, and at least on the movie side. And that movie was just bad. There's no way around it. And I've kind of lost interest in the whole thing, which is why I haven't watched the Mandalorian yet.
Yeah.
So I have another one I want to throw at you, a little movie news real quick. So the guy who came up with John Wick, or who he's kind of the mastermind behind all that, he is he's a director, Chad Stahelski. Here's what he's working on next. He's currently being eyed by Paramount Pictures to direct an original high-concept action movie that captures the spirit of great car movies and has a unique central relationship at its center. Doesn't that kind of sound like all 26 of the Fast and Furiouses?
Yeah.
Or
that, what was that, the Gone in 60 Seconds movie?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Baby Driver.
Did they have a central relationship?
I guess not.
I don't remember.
But car movies. So I
are you a car movie guy?
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, there's a couple of the Fast and Furious that I actually liked. But for the most part, I know they're just money grabs.
Yeah.
But, like car chases to me are the most overdone thing.
You know what car movie I like? Smokey and the Bandit.
That was a good one. Yeah, it's going back. Herbie the Love Bug?
Yeah.
No, the Smokey and the Bandit trilogy. No.
I don't, what are the other... What are the other movies in that trilogy?
Smokey and the Bandit 2 and Smokey and the Bandit 3.
I don't. That's just what they're called?
I think so.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, no, but there was a... I don't remember anything about the second two. Maybe the second... I actually remember a little bit about the second one. But, yeah, there was a Smokey and the Bandit 2 and a Smokey and the Bandit 3.
All right.
So now there's something you can go and go back and watch them. That one's going to hold up, though, because I think that movie's still funny, the first one. Cannonball Run was a good car movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Gumball Rally, which is also basically Cannonball Run with less humor. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
No.
One of the best ones, I think. 713-780-ESP. Jerry Reed was so good in those. When I first got cable, like every movie had Jerry Reed in it. He just played these weird characters. All right, we have a Gym of the Day coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. It's funny, Steelers fan Juan mentioned Christine.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. And then Christopher mentioned Christine and Maximum Overdrive. Maximum Overdrive, great book. Movie not so good. That was that stretch when they were making Stephen King movies that just didn't work. Smokey and the Bandit 2, they have to transport a mama and baby elephant with Dom DeLuise. Now I remember that one. I don't remember anything about Smokey and the Bandit 3 except I think it involved a stuffed fish. So, and was not very widely regarded. That's why you don't need to make it a trilogy. Jared says, worst car movie, Herbie Fully Loaded.
Is that the one with Lindsay Lohan?
I don't know, because Herbie was a reboot.
Yeah.
So what? So it was?
Yeah, I'm 99% sure. I'll check, but.
Okay.
She should have gotten naked in that movie. It would have been better. Not even fully nude, just topless.
Yeah, except that's a Herbie movie, and Herbie's not even topless in that. So well,
it's a car.
Well, I know, but it's a car that has a top on it. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So China's been in the news a lot lately for exporting coronavirus to kill us all.
Yeah, thanks a lot, China.
Being pissed at the NBA.
Yeah, if I were Daryl Morey, I'd post something else about, hey, thanks for the coronavirus, a-holes.
Yeah, well, can they lose any more money?
Yeah, what's the big deal now?
Yeah, at this point. Well, China may actually try to help out Pakistan.
Okay.
Pakistan has a locust population that is out of control to the point that it's destroying their crops. Apparently, ducks, a single duck can eat more than 200 locusts in a day.
Hmm. Okay.
So China is working on sending 100,000 Chinese ducks to Pakistan to get rid of these insects.
It's not a bad call.
So if they can eat 200 a day, do some math in there, Aaron. 100,000 ducks, 200 locusts a day.
It's like 2 million locusts per day, right?
Yeah. I think you could get rid of them at that rate, right?
Eventually, I would think.
But they're doing a trial right now in Xinjiang. And if it goes well, they will send them to Pakistan, which is the worst Pakistan infestation they've seen in 20 years. Threatens the country's wheat harvest and cotton
weed
crop.
Weed harvest?
Wheat.
Oh, wheat.
And cotton crop. So ducks are cheaper, more effective, and cause less environmental harm than pesticides. So I'm kind of for the killer ducks.
I've recently become a big fan of Pakistani food.
Have you?
Yeah, I like it kind of a lot. There's a place called Bismillah, which the original one's off Hillcroft. You got to try this place. And now they've opened one close to my house.
Yeah.
So I'm going there all the time. I don't know if it's as good as the original one was. I really like that OG one.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I don't, what am I doing at Hillcroft other than eating?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it's not far from here. I mean, you can go to lunch
right.
or something. So
yeah.
I may have to try that.
It's a good spot. It's like almost like fusion because it's not like hardcore, you know, they've got like burgers, but they've got burgers with like some different kind of spices on it.
Cool.
They've got some spicy garlic fries. I like anything garlic.
Yeah, I'm hit and miss on garlic.
I love
like,
garlic.
There has to be just the right amount of garlic. Because if you get it right, it's really good. If you get too much or not enough, for some reason it doesn't register with me. Okay, 3-2, you get text of the day. Release the quacking.
Ah, I like it.
Well played, sir. Well played. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
And Steve said, Smokey and the Bandit 3 could have been titled, Jerry Reed Gets Drunk and Pretends to Be the Bandit. Sounds fun, nearly unwatchable. Yeah, if I remember, Burt Reynolds wasn't in it. So
how do they make Smokey and the Bandit 3 without Burt Reynolds? That's probably why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, well, and I just remember two. I do remember the, vaguely remember the elephants in two.
Yeah.
And Dom DeLuise. And apparently, because I guess that was a stretch where Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds were doing a bunch of movies together. Because they did quite a few there. Somebody mentioned Hooper as a Burt Reynolds movie. Did you ever see that?
No.
He played a Hollywood stuntman.
Never seen it.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one of those. From that era of Burt Reynolds movies.
That's the thing. Like, so because of that, because the time of that run, if it wasn't like a well-known movie, I probably missed it because...
It was before your time.
I had to go out of my way to search those, like Smokey and the Bandit. I had to go out of my way to search that out.
Well, his breakthrough role was Deliverance.
Right.
And then Longest Yard was a big hit. Smokey and the Bandit was a big hit. And then he kind of got into these semi-tough, The End, which I don't remember, Hooper, which I loved, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Cannonball Run, Sharky's Machine, and then Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and then Cannonball Run 2. And then it was a long gap there until Boogie Nights in 97, where he didn't really do anything that was memorable. But that kind of rejuvenated his career there for a stretch. So...
Was he like the biggest star in the late 70s?
Well,
was he a bigger star than like Clint Eastwood?
I'm going to go, yeah, I think he was. Because at least, because I kind of grew up while their movies were big. And to me, Smokey and the Bandit was bigger than the Dirty Harry movies.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I mean, it was, I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked up like how much they all made. But yeah. Somebody says Hooper was a kick-ass movie. AJ's homework is to watch Hooper. It was, I like that movie, but.
But like, was it bigger than like, was Smokey and the Bandit bigger than like Outlaw Josey Wales?
At the time, yeah, Outlaw Josey Wales got more popular later.
Okay.
Like that movie, I don't think it did much at the box office, but it became a cult classic.
Okay.
So,
I assume that's the case with all those movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I have to go look them up. So, especially not bigger than Harrison Ford. These guys were before Harrison Ford.
Boy, when I look at his filmography.
Yeah.
His first movies were in the mid-1950s.
Jeez.
So, A Fistful of Dollars came out in 64. Few Dollars More, 65. Good, Bad, and Ugly, 66.
That one was pretty big.
But that's at a different time, you know?
Yeah.
And Dirty Harry came out in 71. High Plains Drifter, 73. Outlaw Josey Wales, 76. I'm trying to think of what his other big movies were. Every Which Way But Loose, 78.
Those were big. That and the Any Which Way You Can, those were huge.
If you put a monkey or orangutan in a movie, people are going to like it. And then he did like Sudden Impact. He didn't really have big movies in the 80s.
Like Enforcer, Sudden Impact, Magnum Force, those were all just...
And then he came back in the 90s when he did Unforgiven. And it was like, oh yeah. And now he was like the old man actor. and obviously he's done okay since then.
Yeah, I think all of his top grossing films
are all his old man movies.
Yeah, well, that he either directed or
right.
Like he directed American Sniper, which made
yep.
350. Gran Torino, Sully, he directed. Million Dollar Baby, which he was in.
And what was that other, Flags Over Iwo Jima?
That one's not on that high up. Bridges of Madison County.
He didn't act in that movie, but he directed it.
Yeah, I'm just going by highest grossing movies. So.
And then the one he did last year, The Mule.
Yeah, that one.
That was good.
103 million, that grossed. Unforgiven, 101. Which, Mystic River, A Perfect World, Space Cowboys, Invictus, Heartbreak Ridge. You got to go way down the list to find, like, all the way down to 17. Sudden Impact is the first of his early movies to make the list of highest grossing.
Damn. All right.
So, and like Pale Rider, I used to think of that as one that was really successful, and it grossed $41 million. So, 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, Outlaw Josie Wales grossed $31.8 million.
Okay.
So
it seems like a lot for the 70s.
Maybe. I mean, but it's like 27th on his list.
I like all those old
I love Josie Wales. I could watch anytime.
Same
it's on.
Here. High Plains Drifter. Those are good ass movies.
Yeah. Even Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Which to me was kind of like Outlaw Josie Wales is an old man after he'd been married.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I love them good, go away. Ain't about to die with no money I done gave you. I was on top when it meant a lot.